Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Dutch Boy's DuraFighter is a premium interior paint and primer in one with a tough, lasting formula. It provides great scrub resistance and durability with remarkable hide and a smooth finish. Save big on Dutch Boy's DuraFighter paint at Menards and start your next project today. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week. Save big money
at Menards. SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live right here on the Early Line on Sports Grid, we welcome you to hour number two on TEL. It is a Tuesday. He is Drew Ranieri. I am Ben Stevens. When 1 week in the National Football League comes to a close, as it did last night with a Monday night finale in Los Angeles, the hardball between the Ravens and the Chargers, Joe, we are never far away from a new week in the National Football League. Tuesday off, Wednesday off from games, and then short week Thursday night football. But not just short week Thursday night football. It's a Turkey Day triple header in just a few days that starts in Detroit, then to Dallas, and then the nightcap on Thanksgiving between the Packers and the Dolphins. Here on the Early Line, we will look at the early lines throughout this second hour and set the stage for a new week in the National Football League. And a potential special guest comes your way in just a little bit here on TEL as well.
Yeah, gotta love it. Feast week here. College hoops, NFL, big weekend, week 14 in college football, Ben. It's gets that time of year. I really can't believe we're almost to December. Wow.
Regular season finale weekend in college football. It is rivalry week, or better known to some, hate week around the country in CFB. So that means Thursday, we've got some football, a triple header on Thanksgiving in the NFL. That means Black Friday football, both in the National Football League, and a slew of college games. Also a college game on Thursday, an important one in the American as well. And of course, our regular season finale Saturday in college football to set the stage for conference championship races. And of course, the hunt for the college football playoff. New rankings revealed this week. That should be fun, as always, on this Tuesday night. In a team that will play on Thanksgiving in the Motor City, not the NFL's best team, that's Detroit, it would be the Chicago Bears, who have lost five straight games, Joe, despite looking more competitive in their last two. They dismissed the offensive coordinator, Shane Waldron. That was a good decision. They have not let go of a head coach that I have affectionately coined Matt Eberfluser in the Windy City. And the reason that we know him as the Eberfluser is because of weird coaching decisions that he makes week in, week out that actively costs his team opportunities to win a football game like this one here, explaining his strategy to challenge long touchdowns for the opposition.
So the view of that, you know, first of all, I threw the challenge flag because it was an explosive. You know, it's 69 yards, and our defense did a wonderful job of stopping them, you know, there for a field goal. I was really pleased with that part of it. But again, when that's an explosive there, we want to make sure that we want to throw that flag. Again, I understand, you know, sideline and all that stuff, cameras and all that, but they've done a good job of replay assisting, you know, coming in and working with that. But again, yeah, I think it's
also a new addition.
Always warrants a challenge when you got that big of a gain. If it was 6 yards, no one would care. If it was 15 yards, I don't think you would care. But with 70 yards, it's worth it, even if we don't have the best look that we want to have.
Huh.
Yeah.
So,
all right.
Okay, let me get this straight. If there is a large play against Eberflus's defense, regardless if it's even questionable, or the guys he pays a lot of money to have up in the booth to radio down and tell him something, regardless if it's even remotely close, he is going to throw his challenge flag. He is going to put the red laundry on the turf just because it was a long play. Am I getting that correctly? It doesn't matter even if it's close. If it's a long play, he will toss out the red challenge flag. That, right? That's what he said. Ooh.
But listen, I felt a little something explosive coming on just listening to him explain that, Ben Stevens. And I got to tell you, that right there, that explanation, he yeah. talked around and around in circles, said absolutely nothing. And here's the bottom line, Eberflus. Your defense once again faltered on critical downs, needing a stop in the game, and you couldn't stop Sam Darnold. Take your flags and stick them. The bottom line is you, as a head coach, responsible, especially on the defensive side of the ball, not being able to get off the field is once again the reason why you lost that game. But throw a flag on that.
Even if that is your identity or your mantra,
right.
If insert X opposition is going to have a deep play, I will consider a challenge flag. At least in your explanation of the asinine thought process of which you would put on display, do not reference the two technical advancements now at your disposal in the National Football League that make said asinine thought process obsolete. Like sideline cameras, not just pylon cams now, but we've got like 19 cameras in a stadium that can zoom in and track the blade of grass if a play is close enough. We also have first down cameras now at the line to gain that are right there on the sideline as well. You have so many people on your coaching staff to look at all of the replays available, because as a head coach, you're not watching the television broadcast. You're not seeing everything in real time to help you influence those decisions. And then on top of it, Joe, he mentioned replay assist, which is a new thing this year in the National Football League, at least in how often it is being used. That the people in New York are phoning down or in to the officiating crew to help with plays that are close enough, that are so, I don't want to say egregious, but the call was just very clear to see on a camera that maybe the referee could not see in real time with their own two eyeballs. That if the play is so egregious, we don't need to go to a challenge. We don't need to debate it. Hey, here was the correct call. Let's move the game forward, not waste multiple minutes under the hood and reviewing a play through replay video footage. We will call it in. Eberflus references that in his explanation.
Yes.
I don't know, man. I don't know.
Because he has all the control over that. It's one of these situations, Ben, where he's just going to keep talking around and avoiding what the big problem here is, and it's got nothing to do with replay assist, which you control nothing about. It has nothing to do with challenging big plays. It's got to do with the fact that once again, in a game that mattered most, we had at least been a half a dozen situational spots and calls by the head coach that we're scratching our head after the fact about. And that is the big reason why you are in all likelihood not going to be the head coach of the Chicago Bears next year.
Yeah, and that really kind of should happen, right? You already dismissed Shane Waldron. Now it's time to really get to the root of the issue and not hold back the potential face of your franchise in Caleb Williams that with a new offensive play caller in Thomas Brown has looked oh so much better the last 2 weeks, throwing for 340 yards and multiple touchdowns against Minnesota on Sunday. Some of the other NFL headlines to enter into week number 13, Daniel Jones has officially cleared waivers, as was expected. Now weighing his potential offers to join potentially, Joe, a playoff contending team, which does actually make some sense.
Absolutely. And that does not include the Raiders, by the way. So forget that, Raider Nation. I do think, yes, there's a handful of teams. And quite honestly, we've said it, Ben. Give me the 49ers if I'm Daniel Jones. Give me Minnesota to back up Sam Darnold. I'm good in both of those spots.
I completely agree, Joe. When you look at what happened last week for Brandon Allen, not all on him, right? You got to have some better schematics, hopefully, to ingratiate him to the offense. But we have seen time and again, if your star quarterback gets injured, you need somebody with experience. Make your joke about Daniel Jones. The guy has been out there. More on the early line up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Day in the National Football League. So now we are very pleased here on the early line to welcome on Tampa Bay Buccaneer Rashad White to TEL to talk about the cause that is near and dear to his heart. Rashad, we appreciate the time on this Tuesday morning. Thanks for being here.
No, thank you guys for having me on. It's an honor.
Rashad, you are partnering with a cause for my cause, my cleats, known as Care Portal. Can you explain to our viewers what is so important about the work the Care Portal is doing and what drew you to this organization?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I would say the biggest thing is just everything that Care Portal stands for. And for obviously, like you said, the viewers that don't know what Care Portal stands for, Care Portal is a huge organization that came together, that started to help families in need, families stick together instead of that was going through crisis, that was going through certain situations, instead of keeping them together, instead of, you know, the families breaking up and kids having to go to foster care, things like that. So Care Portal stands for a lot of things, and they definitely help out the underprivileged families and things like that on certain things that they can't help or they can't, you know, come together with to stay together. So that means a lot to me. Obviously, the way I grew up, obviously I had a family and community though, and it was huge on helping each other. But I know a lot of families out there that kind of don't have that, or, you know, trying to move away and start a new life for their kids and things like that, and parents. And so like Care Portal helps them stick together, stay together, and obviously that's huge. Instead of the kids going into foster care and, they breaking up households.
It's got to feel great, right, Rashad? I mean, the NFL does such a great job. Yeah, they're strict with uniforms and everything else along what you can or can't wear. But them giving you the opportunity to kind of represent who you are and your background and what means a lot to you, it's got to be pretty cool that they give you this opportunity every year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're blessed for this opportunity. You're blessed to support an organization and things like that, that, you know, like you said, starting a show that's dear to your heart. So the NFL, yeah, shout out to them, of course, for letting us be creative on these couple weeks to, you know, shout out organizations and things that matters and that aligns with, you know, players and what we have going on outside of football.
Speaking of the creativity, Rashad, do we have the design locked down for the Care Portal cleats that will be on display here in the NFL season?
Yeah, we got all that, man. And shout out to, you know, amazing artist named Ari. You know, she did a great job, man, you know, communicating and getting the cleat right and making it as perfect as it can be, you know. And, yeah, it's going to be a great display for sure.
All right, Rashad, let me dive in here. Great win on Sunday, of course, against the Giants here. But moving forward now, coming out of the bye week, what's the mood in the locker room right now for you guys? I see it as a very favorable schedule moving forward for you guys, but it's one game at a time. What's the mood in the locker room like now?
Yeah, like you just said, man, one game at a time. We all locked in. You know, we all bought in, and obviously we want to make a run and a push, you know, and handle everything on our side and do our job that we can to try to get in the big dance. So that's what we focused on, you know. We have a solid schedule. Ain't no game easy in this league, and we understand that. And obviously we behind the wall, so we can't take no game or nothing for granted. So, you know, obviously, yeah, like you said, we got a big division game coming up. No matter, you know, what Carolina is or what they look like, what the record shows, division games. I mean, you know, and obviously we got a former coach over there. So, you know, we know they're going to come out ready to play. And we just know we got to, you know, come out ready to play too and can't get outworked. So, like you said, man, it's one game at a time, man. One game at a time mentality. When we get to that game, it's one play at a time. And everybody focus on, you know, doing their job and coming together to try to make a run and a push.
Everybody into the end zone in East Rutherford on Sunday. Rashad White a score, Bucky Irving, a rushing score, Sean Tucker, a rushing score, and even a quarterback, Baker Mayfield. And we see the bravado from Baker in the Garden State. Rashad, when Baker Mayfield came to you guys at the start of last season, what was his mentality like as a leader and what it has meant for your organization?
Man, I think the biggest thing, Baker came over, he just being himself. Obviously, at that time, what he was in a quarterback battle with Cal, and you know, he just came over, was a great human being, great guy, you know, stayed the course, and you know, he never wavered, and you know, it was just awesome to see for us. So I think he just came over, brought who he was, stayed true to himself, the charisma, the swagger, things like that. And obviously with the team we had and what we got going on, you know, we loved him, and obviously it has worked out for him. So, you know, you can't be nothing but happy for the man.
I got to ask you, Rashad, I'm a big Todd Bowles fan. And, you know, some people say, listen, what you see is what you get with him. You said the team is bought in. How much of that is because of Coach Bowles?
Yeah, you know, Coach Bowles is, you know, even keeled, man. You know, always preaches never too high, never too low, you know. And, you know, it's going to be up to the downs of this league. One moment they're going to love you. The next moment they're going to hate you. It's a week by week league. That's what he always does. It's like, too, never get out of character. Stay true to himself. Like you said, he is who he is. And, you know, for us as a team, we understand that. And that's what gives us poise in certain games and big games and things like that. And, you know, at the end of the day, I would say he do everything he can to try to put us in a situation and for us to win. And at the end of the day, the players got to go execute.
Quickly, Rashad, 20 seconds left in the segment. Can we get a prediction from a former Sun Devil? Arizona State winning the Big 12?
Yes, for sure. For sure. Most definitely winning the Big 12, for sure.
Yeah, I see it. I see it as well. Rashad White, we appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us here. And make sure to check out the cleats supporting Care Portal for Mike Collins, Mike Cleats. Rashad, thank you again for the early line next.
Thank you.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Once again, a shout out to Rashad White of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for joining us here on this Tuesday on the early line. Again, Care Portal doing some great work, bringing together community. That, of course, is important. Check out the cleats for White and the rest of the Buccaneers and the rest of the NFL. My Cause, My Cleats begins this week, week 13 around the National Football League. Next weekend as well, week 14 in the NFL. More headlines around the National Football League as we set the stage for week 13 on the horizon. Joe, we touched on this rather briefly in the opening segment of our opening hour. The New York Jets retaining the guidance of the 33rd team, an NFL organization that is also involved in media that features former executives, former head coaches around the NFL, even some breaking news guys to really kind of have a pulse of the NFL. And the Jets are using the 33rd team to help them in the search for a new general manager and head coach. A member, by the way, of the 33rd team, that's former Jets general manager Mike Tannenbaum. Nothing like using the guy that you had to fire to get the new guy that you had to fire to help you get the next guy.
Again, none of this makes any sense, but I do think it's a reflection on the Jets ownership and Woody Johnson here. Woody Johnson is not a new owner, Ben. He is not, you know, recently in the NFL owning a team like we saw with David Tepper in Carolina. This is a guy that has been in the NFL for decades. And the fact that you need an organization to tell you and point to you who the right football people are to have in the NFL is a little mind-numbing to me, but I think it just reflects, once again, on the problem with the Jets organization. It starts at the top, and it starts with ownership making decisions like they made this year on coaches and a GM midseason and hiring a group headed by the guy that buried your franchise last time he was there.
Again, There are a lot of reports about what has happened for this gangrene organization in this very tumultuous 2024 season, where Woody Johnson, the owner, exerting his influence despite the actual football decision makers telling him to be cautious. And Woody Johnson even going against the acquisition of Aaron Rodgers. Sometimes the hubris and pride of owners, because they are rich or because daddy was rich and they inherited all of the wealth, can stand in the way of good football decision making. What we do know, though, the New York Jets and the optimism as a 3-8 football team has dwindled away. The New York Jets are going to miss the postseason for a 14th consecutive year. It is by far the longest active drought in the National Football League, and it doesn't just stop, Joe, at the NFL, also including the NBA, MLB, and the NHL. It is the longest active playoff drought in any of the four major men's professional sports leagues in North America. So good job, Woody.
Yeah, it's and you can't figure out why there is a new logo coming with just a picture of a dumpster fire. And that's the reason why. Once again, decisions continue to be made that are head-scratching with this organization. And my goodness, how much longer can the fans stay around, Ben? I just don't get it.
And I have said, Joe, right, that you invested so much into Aaron Rodgers. You let him call a lot of the shots for your organization. Yep. Your head coach is gone. Your general manager is gone. And you have a 40-year-old quarterback who does not seem fully committed to playing in the National Football League as he approaches year number 41 of his life and year number 21 of his NFL career. Fine, you're going to have to rebuild once again. What exactly are you rebuilding? You are a franchise, right, as I just expressed, that will not make the postseason for 14 straight seasons. But you are, again, rebuilding. And the track record of rebuilding success as of late for New York has not been very successful here for the Jets. Some positive quarterback news elsewhere around the NFL. Also for two incredibly disappointing teams this season. Brock Purdy back at practice, or at least throwing without issue on Monday. Trevor Lawrence returns to practice for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Oh, I was looking forward to more Mac Jones this week, but unfortunately it looks like maybe, just maybe, Trevor Lawrence will be back. And, well, there's really no difference between those two anyway, statistically.
Yeah. Two-win football team, Jacksonville. It's a 5.5-point home dog against the Texans. Houston desperately needs it. So, too, does San Francisco. Sunday night in Buffalo, 6.5-point underdog currently. Let's set the stage for Turkey Day next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is a week of football and family. Thanksgiving is just 2 days away. And of course, to celebrate in the National Football League, it's turkey legs and it's a triple header. Three games that begin bright and early on Thursday in Detroit with the NFL's best team. There was a time, Joe, when growing up for me out on the West Coast, to wake up around 9, 9:30 a.m., especially maybe in my high school or college years when the libations started to flow on the night before Thanksgiving, known as Blackout Wednesday. You get back with the people, you're having a fun time. It was a little bit difficult to wake up for that 9:30 a.m. Pacific time start with the Lions, right? Not anymore. Not the same old Lions. It's appointment television. Anytime the 10-1 Detroit Lions take the football field in an NFC North duel to start off Thanksgiving hosting the Chicago Bears. It is, though, a rather large spread to start off Turkey Day, a 10.5-point number in favor of Detroit. Total at 48.5. What can we expect for the first course on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, well, a blowout. And Thanksgiving has told us over the years, Ben, that the chalk is really dominated these games in Thanksgiving. In fact, I believe since 2004, favorites on Thanksgiving, Ben, 48-9 straight up, 38-19 against the spread. And if you're a double-digit favorite, well, those are 9-0 against the number on Thanksgiving since 2005 and 11-0 since the wild card era back in 1990. So it has always been profitable to back the chalk on Thanksgiving here, even the double-digit kind.
And when that chalk is the best cover team in the National Football League in the last 3.5 years, you can feel even a tad more confident. Detroit, since the start of 2023, 19-7 against the spread. This year, in their 10 victories, they have covered 9 times. Meanwhile, Chicago, 2 covers in a row, or at least a push, depending on where you got that closing number on Sunday against the Vikings. But anytime Chicago has covered a number or not lost against the spread, a pure non-cover, Joe, they have been at home. Short week, early start, on the road in Detroit, not necessarily a recipe for success. The Bears have lost 5 straight games. They had gone under in their first 4 of these 5 straight losses. They went over, of course, against Minnesota in a large way, even before overtime, with that rally down by 2 touchdowns in the 4th and final quarter. So we know that the favorites are generally going to win rather comfortably and maybe even cover as a double-digit favorite on Thanksgiving. Just so many benefits of being at home, being there on a short week. And it's not short week prime time, those additional hours crucial. This is short week, 12:30 p.m. local time start in the Motor City. But Joe, what does that mean then for points? 48.5 is a lot for a short week Thursday night game, especially a short week Thursday game that kicks a little bit after lunch.
Yeah, and another one of these situations, Ben, where, yeah, the overs have actually been not a bad look in these games here. A little less defense, a little more offense, especially when we're talking about a team, Ben, that has already dropped 50-plus points. How many times this year, and should not have a problem doing it again? I don't think they're in jeopardy of losing, like we saw Green Bay beat them with Detroit being a favorite a year ago, which ruined the hopes and dreams of a lot of people that were in a survivor pool last Thanksgiving. I don't see that happening again this year with Detroit. I do think a lot of points could very well be coming in this game. I mean, how many had Minnesota lighten them up last week against that defense?
Yeah. And so again, when you look at these numbers, Detroit as a double-digit favorite twice this year against other teams that were sub 500, as Chicago is. Tennessee at home, they scored 52. Cover the number, winning 52-14, easily over 45 and a hook. Who else were they a double-digit favorite against? In fact, the largest favorite of the year so far, against Jacksonville 2 Sundays ago. We know the score. 52 points, 52-6, the final score, a cover and an over for Detroit. Now, I don't think Chicago is as bad, despite what the record says, as a Jacksonville, as a Tennessee right now, but we know the Lions like to beat up on bad teams. We could see some points. Now let's talk Lions in general. 10-1. Many people feel Detroit is the best team in the National Football League. It's hard to argue. They're the Super Bowl favorites at a 3-1 number. $2 in front now of Kansas City. The short favorites to win the NFC. A minus 600 favorite to win the division for a second consecutive year, after going 3 decades without a divisional championship. And a minus 250 favorite to be that one seed in the NFC. Are there any of those categories, Joe? Any of those 4 betting markets that you believe Detroit is not worthy of the price associated?
No, they're not. I mean, what else do you want from them at this point? The schedule still remains extremely favorable for them. The ability to play indoors once again favors them. The only thing I'm worried about with this Detroit team is, as you know, how many more injuries can they sustain, certainly on the defensive side of the ball, before it starts to catch up with them. But I'm not exactly sure that the Chicago Bears are a team that are going to be able to take advantage of any of the deficiencies they have defensively right now. So I'm not worried about it in the immediate future. But once we get to January, it may come into play. But as of right now, all those numbers, very worthy of a 10-1 team.
I bet the Detroit Lions to win Super Bowl 59 at a 6-1 number, now double what it is now, just about a month ago. So we have seen that price grow shorter and shorter week over week as Detroit's dominance continues to grow. Of course, the Lions have won an NFL championship, but that was before the Super Bowl era and before the merger way back in 1957. The Lions have not just failed to ever win a Lombardi Trophy, Joe. They have never played in the big game. They have never played in a Super Bowl. So to be the short Super Bowl favorites, this is very new territory in the Motor City. First course, the Lions and the Bears, a divisional duel on Thanksgiving, a 10.5 point spread. Maybe you're thinking, 10.5 points, how close is this game going to be? Is it even good? I'd actually rather watch the first course than the second course because the Cowboys will host the New York Giants at the Star. Dallas, a 3.5 point favorite against the G-Men. The total, 37.5. It was 36 and a hook earlier in the week. I actually think this could get a little helter-skelter, if albeit in an ugly fashion. Maybe we just hope for points in the second course of the Turkey Day triple header.
You know, in the last 20 years, Ben, only three games on Thanksgiving have closed with a total below 40. And that'll be, well, this will be the fourth, right? Because this is not getting up and over 37.5. It's not even going to sniff 40. 2-1 to the over, Ben, in those previous three. I just can't see. Well, I mean, who are we kidding? The Giants defense pretty much rolled over at home against Tampa. Maybe we get a ton of points in this game here.
They allowed 30. Right. And then the Cowboys played in a game where 31 points were scored in the final 3 minutes of regulation. So maybe, just maybe, everybody get ready to learn. Cooper Rush versus Tommy DeVito. Tommy Cutlets, in his first game back starting with the New York Giants, barely over that number, but not to 180. Did utilize his legs, more than 30 rushing yards. Cooper Rush, there are the prices. Look at those numbers to throw 3+ touchdowns. Yeah, I don't see that happening even if we get some offense on Thanksgiving. The Turkey Day nightcap, though, it's a good one at Lambeau. Next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so the first course of our Thanksgiving triple header in the NFL at least features the best team in the National Football League. That's the Detroit Lions at 10-1 and a 3-1 price as the Super Bowl 59 favorites. We'll see if Chicago can keep the game close because it is a 10.5 point spread in favor of the home team in the Motor City, that being the Lions. The second game is between two teams that are well under 500 at this moment. It's the 4-7 Dallas Cowboys and the 2-9 New York Giants. It's Cooper Rush against Tommy DeVito. 3.5 point spread in favor of Dallas at home in the Storm. If neither of those first two courses seem all that appetizing, well, just wait until the nightcap because the third course is going to be a feast. A great game to cap off Turkey Day at Lambeau Field. The Green Bay Packers, an 8-3 football team and a 3.5 point favorite against a Miami Dolphins team that is trying to fight its way back into playoff positioning. The Dolphins have won 3 straight and covered in 4 in a row with the return of Tua Tagovailoa in a 5-game span since his return from injured reserve. 3.5 point spread in favor of Lambeau. How competitive will the nightcap on Thanksgiving be?
Well, and what is more importantly, right? What's the temperature of the nightcap here since we have Tua showing up and Miami? And that's currently, it looks like the average temperature at Lambeau on Thursday night for this time of year will be just about 30 degrees or maybe just under with about 7 to 10 miles per hour. We already know Tua has played in 40 sub 40 temperatures four times with the Dolphins, Ben, and he is 0-4 straight up and 1-3 against the number. Even worse, he fails to cover those spreads by 18 points a game. So we've got an issue here if you think the weather, the coldness, is going to be what hampers Tua. I don't happen to think so in this particular spot. I don't think it's going to be double-digit winds. You know, cold is cold, but after having played in that, what, -4-degree Kansas City game last year, this right. should seem like a vacation for Tua and Miami. I do think I don't like Jordan Love as a favorite. It's not been a profitable endeavor in his short career. I do think Miami is certainly playing well enough to be able to keep this game within a field goal, even win it outright. But we also know night games on Thanksgiving, Ben, you know what they tend to do? They tend to go under the total, and they have for quite a while now. So that might be a lofty number for these two teams offensively to hit. Yeah. Might all be about the defenses here on a short week.
And maybe it will be, Joe, despite the fact in the five games since Tagovailoa's return, the Dolphins have scored at least 23 points in all five games. They had not scored more than 20 in the first six games of the year. They're averaging 29 points per game, and they have gone over the total in four of the five with Tua back. Again, they have covered in four straight. They have won three in a row. They have won and covered in all three of those games, including outright as an underdog once. That was the game in L.A. on a Monday night, albeit indoors, inside SoFi Stadium. In fact, Joe, they have been an underdog only four times this year, twice without Tua Tagovailoa and twice with. They've actually covered in both games as a dog with Tagovailoa as the starting quarterback. Why do I highlight that? Because what has been the knock against the Finns with Mike McDaniel, with Tua? Their inability to even keep games competitive when not expected to win said game. As a favorite since the start of last year, the Miami Dolphins, in a couple of these losses without Tua Tagovailoa in the lineup, two to be exact, but as a favorite since the start of last year, the Miami Dolphins are 14-4 straight up. They are 13-5 against the number. That is pretty good, or excuse me, 12-6 against the number, but still a really good cover team. As an underdog since the start of last year, 3-9 ATS, two of those three covers coming this year with Tua under center, and just two outright wins. And that's what Miami is looking for because of the injury to Tua Tagovailoa earlier in the year and dropping the first two games despite looking better in his return. The Dolphins are still sub 500, Joe, with a 5-6 record. They need to stack up wins, even unlikely games on a short week in the cold at a place known as the Frozen Tundra. We'll see if they can do that on Thursday night.
Yeah, and listen, I think that this is all going to come down to the both of these defenses being able to slow the other team. When we have gotten totals of 43 or more on Thanksgiving night, 8-3 to the under in that span here. Short week of rest. LaFleur has not been great on short rest there, especially as a favorite. His numbers are 1-6, I believe, is what we're looking at there against the number.
Yeah.
That hook, as long as it's available, it looks to me like Miami's got the value here. Again, it's going to be cold, but it's not going to be what we saw against Kansas City last year. So yeah. I think Miami would be fine from that opportunity.
That was the fourth coldest game on record in the history of the NFL, yeah. Even I think colder than the Ice Bowl, but I'm not even entirely sure on that. It's supposed to be around 33 degrees for most of Thursday in Green Bay on Thanksgiving. The wind's not especially terrible, so the feels like temperature probably not going to be all that much worse than 30 degrees Fahrenheit. a 7% chance of snow as we get into those evening hours. Again, the Dolphins right now, plus 250 price to see the postseason. The Packers are 8-3 straight up. One of those three teams in the NFC North, five games above 500 or better, and a minus 2,000 favorite, Joe, to see the playoffs.
They have a shot. They have a legit shot here because the schedule favors them. If they can win this one, Ben, take the 250 now because it's not going to be available there Friday. That's for sure.
That being for the Miami Dolphins, for sure. The Packers still the third best price to win the NFC Championship. It hasn't looked overly optimistic at times, despite an 8-3 record with Jordan Love under center. Black Friday football next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Not just a Turkey Day triple header around Thanksgiving and the holiday weekend in the National Football League, but Black Friday football as well. And not just in the NFL. As I am a college football guy, Black Friday is normally a day reserved for college football, not the last few years, as the NFL encroaches on everything. But regardless, let's talk some Black Friday football. Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern time, kick inside Arrowhead between the Chiefs and the Raiders, who played last year on Christmas. And it was Las Vegas pulling off an outright upset as a double-digit dog inside Arrowhead. Could the holidays bring more joy for a Las Vegas team, Joe, that has dropped seven consecutive games and has covered just once in the seven-game skid? They are a 13, that being the Raiders, a 13.5-point underdog in KCMO on Friday afternoon.
Ben, listen, it's well documented. Kansas City is not to be trusted to cover big spreads. Certainly not trusted to go double digit wise here in this game. I don't care who they're playing. I just think that you're better off looking for team totals with Kansas City if you're going to go that route. Maybe fade Desmond Ridder and the Raiders, their team total. I would avoid laying 13.5 points with Kansas City, who continues to burn money for people who bet them thinking there's a blowout written all over it. That's not who this Kansas City team is this year. You'd be foolish at this point to think this is the game they're going to actually blow somebody out. Not going to happen for me. Their team total would be the only way I'd look.
And listen, I did misspeak slightly. The Raiders have covered twice in this seven-game skid, including in a game against the Chiefs just about a month ago in Las Vegas. I think there's going to be another coaching change in Las Vegas at the end of this year.
Yep.
I'm not sure Antonio Pierce has what it takes at this moment to be the head coach of this Raiders organization. But in terms of buy-in and mentality led by Antonio Pierce, we know that the Raiders circle these games against the Chiefs. Viral clips over the summer talking about the Jordan rules for Mahomes when the Raiders play the Chiefs. Alluding back to the Pistons and the Bulls of the 80s and the 90s and the Bad Boys of Motown trying to rough up Michael Jordan. Now, the Raiders did not come close to winning that football game just about a month ago at Allegiant Stadium. But they did end up covering because of a late touchdown pass from Gardner Minshew around 2 minutes remaining in regulation. It was a game where the Chiefs were laying more than a touchdown. In fact, as a 6.5-point favorite or greater this year, Kansas City is just 1-5 against the spread. In four of those five non-covers, the games have gone over. In six of the seven consecutive L's for Las Vegas at this moment, the game has gone over. So perhaps it is either an absolute clunker that Kansas City wins 13-7, or the Chiefs do understand how much the Raiders have invested into this game and light up the scoreboard, but the Raiders do enough to keep pace and we go over 42.5. But Joe, to your point, this would not be the time that I look at myself and say, this Kansas City team is going to finally blow somebody out, because the Chiefs are making history in the NFL. The first team in NFL history to win 8 of their first 11 games by only a single score, 7 points or less. I don't know if this is the time that KC wins by 2 scores, in fact, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, no, I don't. And we also have to keep in mind, I know O'Connell, who broke his thumb, right? Yeah. It did practice yesterday. He could very well be available for this game. So while it's they have Desmond Ridder penciled in, I would not be shocked if O'Connell is also available to go under center in this one. And then it's really potluck at that point, what you're going to get offensively for the Raiders.
And again, when you looked at Patrick Mahomes starting off this season, not great in terms of the touchdown to INT ratio. 6 TDs to 8 INTs entering that final Sunday in October in Las Vegas. He threw multiple touchdowns. He did throw a pick, but he started to clean up the interceptions after that. In fact, in 4 of the last 5, Patrick Mahomes has thrown multiple touchdowns. So there are different ways to approach this if you think the Chiefs might win comfortably or at least score enough points to be out in front of Las Vegas early. Mahomes to throw 1.5 touchdowns has the juice on the over at -140. All right, that does it for hour number 2. Hour number 3 on the horizon up next on the Early Line.